Yeah, man.
Oh. Was it on Facebook?
Yeah, man. Facebook Live, bitch. You ready to go live?
I gotta see what I look like.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's very nice.
What's going on with my hair?
Am I clicking here as well?
Yeah, yeah, ready?
Yep.
Ready? Hi, everybody!
We're going live on two different platforms here, so hello, YouTube. Hello, Facebook.
Hello, YouTube. Hello, Facebook.
Do your intro.
Do the things. Welcome, everybody, to a very special episode of Spider-Man the Animated Series podcast, where we're doing a live stream on our Facebook page, Spider-Man the Animated Series podcast, and also on Robson Inc., which is Will's YouTube channel. So hello, webheads. How's everybody doing? Hope you're having a good day. We are here today to talk about something I've been wanting to do for a while, which is the James Cameron's Spider-Man movie that never got made. That was fun. It's like camera one, camera two.
Yeah, that's
two,
not going to work when we post it on a podcast. No one's going to know what you're doing.
Camera you one, just camera two.
Sound like an idiot.
They can pull it up on both channels and do it. So what we're going to do is... Will's fiancée, Chloe, is also here off camera because she's going to be a stand-in at one point for us for a particular character, because the way this is working is I'm going to list all the facts about James Cameron's movie, about the Spider-Man movie he wanted to make, about the possible casting choices that he had, and I'll be able to share those with you guys through my phone and show you who they were thinking about with the names, along with some storyboards, which I can share on the Facebook page, and we can always try and, I don't know, turn the camera, or maybe we'll just show it through the phone, actually. And then we're going to get into some script readings, because this script is, for the lack of a better term, fucking hilarious.
I haven't read any of it, so I'm looking forward to it.
So they're completely in the dark, and I'm going to be, I suppose, I'll be the director of you two.
Oh, and also, through. When he says two, my fiancée Chloe is here as well.
You already said that.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
Along with my...
Hello.
I don't think... Actually, I'll do this for everyone on my YouTube.
Mm.
This is the dog that always snorts.
Hi. Say hello.
Say hello on Facebook. She's the one that's always snoring in my lap. And now she's going to snore in her mum's lap.
Yes. Okay, so what I'll do is I'll list facts for you guys and go through the entire film about what James Cameron was planning, all the loopholes and all the things he had to go through, and eventually why it didn't get made. I've got a huge list of facts here, as always.
Now, is that still going live on Facebook now you've put that tab down?
Yeah.
Yep, cool.
Jeez.
Just checking.
No, that's true. That would have sucked, yeah. Okay.
I'm your IT.
So, what I'll do first is, like I said, I'll go through the facts with you guys. We can talk about it. This film was going to be an R-rated Spider-Man film. So this is right after James Cameron. This was going to come out in 1995, I believe, this film. So soon after Spider-Man 95. The Animated Series.
That's the year you were born.
Yeah.
And this film was planned to be an R-rated Spider-Man film because James Cameron obviously had just come off Terminator 2.
Wow, was that was like, going to be the previous film to leave.
Was
who
like,
watches Terminator 2 and they're like, yeah. Spider-Man, yeah, that's a good role for that guy.
Yeah, and then I think, actually no, True Lies came after, so it wasn't even True Lies. But obviously Arnold, James Cameron, there's even a role for Arnold in this film.
No, there. Does it say, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger enters frame?
I'll tell you right now, Arnold Schwarzenegger was going to be planned as Dr. Octopus.
What?
Yep.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
Instead he became Mr. Freeze.
Instead he became Mr. Freeze.
The two German comic book characters.
So,
oh my God, him as Dr. Octopus would have been amazing.
And then also, I know for a fact that Spider-Man, James Cameron was heavily considering, what's his face from Titanic? Why can't I think of his name?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
I could see that.
Yep. In fact...
In the 90s, yeah.
I can show you that, and I'll always post this on... Facebook afterwards, but there's even a contest concept art.
Someone on YouTube says Terminator comes back in time to kill the spider that bites Peter Parker.
Oh, I like that. That's a way better plot. Oh, that's not loading. That's typical. So I'll show you on here, and I can even show the viewers.
Why is it not loading, Smythe?
Smythe, it's not loading. Dun dun dun! I saw it earlier. That is the poster that was planned for the film. It's very hard to see, I know, but that is James Cameron's
Spider-Man.
So we've got Leonardo DiCaprio as Peter Parker.
Wow, very McFarlane-looking Spider-Man. Well, he's 95.
Mary Jane was considered somebody. I have to look her up afterwards because, as usual, I've come into this completely unprepared, but we'll go along and we'll have some fun with it. But let me read out all the facts about what happened. So Spider-Man, which is what it was called, strangely enough, was planned but ultimately was a fail film and to be directed by James Cameron in the mid-1990s. Several plot elements from Cameron's script were kept by David Kemp in his script for the 2002 Spider-Man film. And when we read some of this stuff today, you'll kind of see elements of how Sam Raimi took similar tropes for what James Cameron was planning. This film was the reason that Spider-Man the Animated Series was not allowed to use Electro and Sandman because they are the two big villains.
Now, what else has David Kep written? Do you know?
I don't know, no. I have no idea. But you can Google it up. As
David Coep.
Coep. So, in 1990, Carolco Pictures originally bought the rights to Spider-Man from Manaheim Golan for $5 million and were planning a $50 million budget version of this film. Carolco then hired James Cameron to write, direct, produce, but Carolco wouldn't be paying for Cameron's submitted script. So Cameron had to produce the script by himself if he wanted this to be made. So they were paying for his production and directing, but they were paying him to write it, but he would have to sell the script ultimately to get it made.
Do you want to hear what this guy has written?
What?
Pretty impressive. Jurassic Park. He has stuff on the first Spider-Man film. I don't know if he actually wrote it.
Well, that's what he was. David Kep is the guy that originally wrote the first Spider-Man film, and that's what he's saying. David Kep took tropes from James Cameron's Spider-Man
film. Right, so he's got that. Mission Impossible 1.
Wow, the good one.
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom whatever from 2008. The Lost World. Angels and Demons. Panic Room. Ghost Town. Carlito's Way. Oh my god, the list goes on and on and on. This guy has worked. The 2017 Mummy film he wrote.
Oh god.
Men in Black 3. Indiana Jones 5, 2020. What is this bullcrap? What is this picture here? Look.
Whoa, they have a new Indiana Jones poster before it's even come out?
2020. This can't be real.
That's going to come out. Yeah, there's a new indie film.
Well, he's writing it. He wrote the last one, and the last one was terrible.
No, no, but he didn't. Lucas wrote the last indie film. He's written
it's
all of
them. That's not what it says here. Whatever. It's Facebook.
Okay, so I mean, it was Google. This was post True Lies. I thought it was. So toward the end of shooting True Lies, Variety carried the announcement that Carolco Pictures had received a completed screenplay from James Cameron. This script bore the names of James Cameron, John Brocato, Ted Newson, Barry Cohen, and Joseph Gomari. I have no idea who these people are besides James Cameron. That is the dog snoring, by the way, if anybody hears that. Yeah, I know.
Wow.
It's so boring.
She's
so
had a busy day. She's been out and about. Oh my god. Move her a bit. Put her so she's not in this naughty position.
Okay, so Cameron wanted Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he linked him to as his choice for Dr. Octopus, as I said. Months later, James Cameron submitted an undated 47-page scriptment, which we are going to read today.
What's a scriptment?
It's basically a treatment of the script. So it's got some pieces of dialogue for scenes, and then the rest of them is just, then this happens in this scene, then this happens. So it's kind of, it's not a completed script,
so it's, like,
it's just a whole
basically
story.
Marvel method when it comes to writing scripts.
Pretty much.
But for comic scripts.
Yep. The scriptment told the Spider-Man origin, which is another thing that the animated series was not allowed to do because of this film. The scriptment was meant as, here's how Spider-Man becomes Spider-Man, here's Electro, and here's Sandman, who are very different than their original incarnations, and it was going to tease Dr. Octopus, so it was going to show Arnold Schwarzenegger as just Otto Octavius.
So were they just trying to make the Sinister Six, but didn't follow through with all the heroes? They just took, like, the Sinister Three?
Possibly. That's very possible.
Or they may be setting it up for another film, and then the final film would have been all of them together?
That probably would have eventually... They probably tried to do a little mini Marvel Spider-Man universe before they eventually failed. I'm sure they probably...
Pretty bold to have three villains on their first film, right? Like, think of the films that came out before that. They were, you know, Batman 89,
Batman Returns had two, but yeah, other from that.
Yeah, but that's a sequel. I'm talking about for a first film.
And to do the origin of the hero, and then the origins of two villains, and also set up Dr. Octopus for another film.
That sounds like really
a lot
convoluted.
Of work, yeah. So, the scriptman told the origin of Spider-Man and used variations on the comic book characters Electro and Sandman. This Electro, who is not called Electro, his name is just Carlton Strand. He is essentially okay. He is essentially the Kingpin mixed with Electro.
Really?
So he's like this weird like crime boss that uses his powers to become the Kingpin of New York, but he's Electro. But he's not called Electro, he's not called Kingpin, he's called Carlton Strand.
That's a weird combination.
Yep. And his name was also not Max Dillon, like the normal Electro is. Then we've got, instead of Flint Marko's character, Cameron's Sandman, simply named Boyd. Never called Sandman.
Boyd.
Just called Boyd.
So what is this... Because if you watch... Like, they never really call Bucky Barnes the Winter Soldier. Maybe they do. But there's certain characters in films you see nowadays where you know they're that bad guy, but they don't call them that name. You just know it's them.
You just... Yeah.
I'm trying to think of examples of that. Like, because when you think of the opposite of that, like Punisher Warzone, when he's like, from now on, you call me Jigsaw.
Well, they
like,
even did Zemo, and not referring to Zemo, didn't they?
No, they called him Zemo. They just didn't call him Baron von Zemo.
True.
And that to me, like, I love that film, but that was one thing that bugged me, because I love Baron von Zemo, the character. I need the mask and the sword.
So...
No comment on that? All right.
To continue on, no, I agree, they did Zemo poorly. I still love that film, though. So to continue on, after I said he's just named Boyd and he's mutated by an accident involving Philadelphia experiment-style biolocation and atom mixing, so trying to be way too technical with the origin of Sandman, just use some fucking sand and some sort of technology to create him. I don't know why they did that. And the story's climax was a battle atop the World Trade Center.
Oh, well, I mean, the World Trade Center, then, wasn't there a scene in the Sam Raimi one and it got cut out?
It was in the trailer, yeah.
I remember the trailer where he made the web in between both Twin Towers.
Yeah, during a helicopter heist scene.
Yes, and it catches the helicopter. Yeah.
Sandman versus Anakin from Nathan DC Marvel. So we've got, to continue on, we also had a sex scene on the top of Brooklyn Bridge between Spider-Man and Mary Jane.
That's crazy.
Which we will be reading and you two will take over those roles. This treatment reflected elements in previous scripts from Leslie Stevens' treatment. It had organic web shooters, so they stuck with Sam Raimi's. Right.
I never minded that, to be honest. I mean,
you've got to have web shooters.
Yes, I think the web shooters help with causing conflict for the character, where, oh no, I'm low on web shooters, or oh no, they're not working.
Right.
But I remember as a kid, I loved the organic stuff.
And then this script involved the villain's main plot, Electro, because I'm not going to call him fucking whatever the stupid name was, Carlton Strand. Electro's main plot was to convince Spider-Man to become part of his sort of mutant crime gang, where he's like, you are better off as an ally for me than you are a villain. Join me and we can rule New York City.
That's what Green Goblin wanted to do.
So it's very similar to Sam Raimi's, but obviously Sam Raimi did a much better job than this.
You like that film, don't you?
What?
We watched
Sam Raimi's Spider-Man.
All three of us watched that about 3 or 4 months ago.
That's my childhood Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good film.
Rewatching, I was like, oh, this is going to be rubbish.
We watched it as a joke, and we actually came out of it like, that was a pretty good
film. Yeah, we were like, oh, I'll watch that again.
So the reason, I've got it here, the reason it started to fall through is when James Cameron agreed to make Spider-Man, Caralco lawyers simply used his previous Terminator 2 contract as a template. A clause in this agreement gave Cameron the right to decide on the movie and advertising credits, show business trade articles, advertisements, and it made no mention of Golan, which is part of the production team behind it, who was still actively assembling the elements of this film. So in 1993, Golan complained publicly and finally instigated legal action against Caralco for disavowing his contractual guarantee credit as a producer. So this guy, Golan, wanted to produce it. He was producing it, but he was never credited, never mentioned. Mm. And James Cameron started to take more and more away from Golan, and he was just like, hang on, I own this shit. What are you doing?
Was A.V. Arad involved in any of this?
Not that I've read at all. Okay. And neither was Stan Lee.
Well, this is just like we've sold the rights, go make a big movie.
Yes, exactly. This is soon after he sold the rights. Stan Lee sold the rights.
Sold the rights!
Sold the rights! So, eventually, Carolco sued Viacom and Columbia to recover broadcast and home video rights, and the two studios countersued each other, and there was just massive lawsuit after lawsuit. James Cameron was in the middle. He wanted to make this film, but the two production companies were basically bashing heads, and it just collapsed. Mm. And it was going to get made. It's not like he submitted, I think it's a pretty shitty script or treatment, but... at that time, he was so hot that James Cameron could have done anything. He did.
Was this
Terminator, Terminator 2, True Lies? I mean, he was untouchable.
So, if he made this film, do you think Titanic would have ever been made? Because is that the next project that he did?
That's true. It was. Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, it would have been made just with a different main actor.
What do you mean, director?
James Cameron directed Titanic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Because Leonardo DiCaprio is the main guy in it.
Yeah, but we're talking about...
James Cameron loves Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, and this was going to be the first film that he worked on him because he saw him in Gilbert Grape.
Oh, okay.
And loved him and was like, this kid's going to be a fucking star. Now,
don't you think that he would have chose the kid from Terminator 2 to be Spider-Man? Like, that's not a bad choice.
Funny you say that because it's in there. He was second choice, and I think he would have been better because Harry Osborn. Yeah, but I think he would have been a great Peter Parker because he had the attitude. Mm-hmm. He had that sort of sense of I can be a smart kid, but I'm also a cocky kid.
Yeah,
and I think he when you hear him when he's like you're calling moi a dickhead, the way he acted
way better than Leo.
Yeah, but Leo
would have been a good Harry Osborn actually.
Leo would have been a good Harry Osborn. So, as I said, I won't go into the massive legal battle because it's just more and more jargon and more fights, but it completely dissolved and destroyed it. And then in 1999, after all of this mess finally settled, Marvel licensed Spider-Man rights to Columbia, a subsidiary of Sony Pictures Entertainment, and MGM disputed the legality, claiming it had those Spider-Man rights via canon. 21st Century got involved, and then that's how Sam Raimi's Tobey Maguire Spider-Man film was born. So let's go through the casting choice, yeah? And I will pull it up. I don't need to show you Leonardo DiCaprio. You know what he looks like. He was going to be Peter Parker Spider-Man. Maggie Smith was going to be Aunt May. Do you know Maggie? You must know who Maggie Smith is.
Of course I know who Maggie Smith is.
Who's Maggie Smith?
Maggie Smith, the way I mean, she is huge in...
Professor McGonagall.
Oh my God, a sweet little Aunt May.
Yep.
That's amazing casting.
She's also in Hook.
Oh, Peter.
She's Wendy in Hook. That's how I originally know her.
I could see her being like, Peter, you need to get my groceries.
Is she Wendy in Hook? I think I just fucked that up. You know what? She is Wendy in Hook. Yeah. So there's Aunt May. She would have been amazing.
Whoa, she looks so much younger there.
Yeah. Anybody watching, that's Aunt May. God, that's really blurry, isn't it? Really, it's just eyes and a...
Just Google Maggie Smith.
Yeah, Google Maggie Smith.
Just Professor McGonagall.
Just
Google 90s Professor McGonagall.
We've got...
She'd have like a Nirvana t-shirt on.
Robin Lively as Mary Jane, who at first I was like, who's Robin Lively? And I kind of looked through. There's things... She was in The Karate Kid. She was
a
love interest. I think as a teenager, that's a pretty good Mary Jane.
They just chose someone who has red hair.
Yeah. So I think she would have been a great Mary Jane.
No.
She's got red hair. I've never seen her in anything, so I don't know.
What other popular actresses around the 90s? Oh, what's the girl from Friends?
What, Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah, I think she would have been a good Mary Jane.
Really? Is she young enough at the time? Because Peter Parker's in high
95.
School. Yeah, 95. He's in high school.
Oh, this is a high school film?
Isn't she like in her 50s now? Or like late
40s?
He's
a senior in high school in this,
oh,
this
okay.
movie.
Oh, okay. I thought this... I didn't know.
Yeah, she was too old at the time.
I don't know any child actors
right.
from the 90s.
This is the one I've been really excited to show you.
I'm very good at that topic. I know all about child actors, specifically from the
1990s. I find it a bit weird if you were.
Yeah.
I'm going... This is definitely for you. I've been waiting to show you this. J. Jonah Jameson was going to be Arlie Ermey.
The guy from...
Look how JJ he is.
Oh my God, yeah. That's for people listening.
Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket. You could suck a golf ball for a garden hose.
Yep. And just, I can see him at the Daily Bugle. And he's been in Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
He's a very good choice for J. Jonah Jameson. Yep. So some good casting.
So yeah, some really good casting. When I saw that, I was like, oh my God.
Except for Arnold Schwarzenegger as Dr. Octopus.
So Michael Biehn was going to be Boyd Sandman. Michael Biehn is sort of James Cameron's go-to guy as well. He is in Terminator 1. He is the guy that travels back in time
I've
and ends up...
I've never seen Terminator 1.
Oh my God.
I know,
right.
I was supposed to watch it this weekend.
Who's Michael Biehn?
Right, I'll show you Michael Biehn. He's been in...
Mr. Biehn, you know. With
he's
the
been in he's been in Navy SEALs. I'm trying to spell
it correctly. Oh my God, you used to love that film as a kid.
I fucking still love that film, mate.
When's the last time you watched Navy SEALs?
Not for a while, actually.
I would happily get drunk and watch that with you one day.
We're doing it tonight! Right, Michael Biehn. You know Michael... You know Michael Biehn from Tombstone.
Okay.
And he's also...
Let me see a picture of him in Tombstone.
I know, these are terrible photos. There's Michael Biehn. He was going to be Sandman. Do you recognize him?
Vaguely.
I know you've seen him.
Yes, I
he's
do.
The one that versus Val Kilmer in Tombstone, the one that, like, his rival.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm your Huckleberry. That was a terrible impression. I'm your Huckleberry.
I can be your Huckleberry if you want me to.
But yeah, he's known for Terminator. Oh, obviously Aliens. He's in the sequel to Alien. He's one of the soldiers in that lasts for a long time. And numerous other roles. So he was going to be Sandman or Boyd, because they can't fucking get that right.
Boyd.
Also, another Alien actor that James Cameron was bringing off. And obviously that was another huge film that James Cameron had in his belt when he came to do this.
I haven't seen those films since I was like a kid. So I need to rewatch those.
Aliens
as well.
Really hard.
I'm going through right now like old, slightly horror movies like Alien. I just watched The Thing for the first time.
I know, it's crazy.
I need to watch Terminator. I'm really enjoying it. I'm going to keep going with them.
I don't think anyone's watching us on Facebook Live.
How many people like us on Facebook?
Like fucking 20. No,
oh, I'm glad we like set 60. It up.
Yeah, we've got that too. It doesn't matter. We still got it going, don't we? So this is...
You're terrible at advertising.
This is...
It's your one job.
You fucked up, Smythe.
Your art page or something.
Oh, that's better.
Oh, it's fine. It's going through my YouTube. Hi, YouTube. Yeah. I'm sorry if I'm missing comments.
So this is... this guy was going to be Electro. Do you recognise him?
No.
So, I'm trying to find a better picture. Maybe you don't recognise him, but he was in Hard Target. I don't know if you remember that film. Aliens. He's in The Terminator as well. I mean, James Cameron worked with this guy a lot. He was also in Aliens vs. Predator, and he was the guy, Wayland.
It's a terrible
that,
film.
Yeah, but he was the one that led them all there because he wanted to solve his... Because he was old and he was dying, and he thought there was a way for him to live eternally.
They've got to make a good Aliens vs. Predator movie one day, right?
That's right,
Barbara. The best Alien vs. Predator thing I've ever seen was that Judge Dredd vs. Aliens vs. Predator comic. How good was that book?
That was fucking amazing.
Anybody listening, go get that book from, I think it's, who makes it? Was it IDW or somebody like that? Anyway, or Dark Horse. Go
Dark
get that
Horse.
Book.
Yeah,
that was really, really, really fun ride. Art's very Frank Miller in Dark Knight Returns as well.
Yeah, four issues and it's a complete story and you just go, this was made for a movie, this film.
This book. It was way better than it deserved to be.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Anyway, so... Oh, these are really small, but I'll read this. So, and obviously...
Oh my God.
To finish, Arnold Schwarzenegger as Otto Octavius, Dr. Octopus, which would have just been amazing.
It would have been jokes.
I can't... You know what?
Imagine
said,
him. He's supposed to be a super smart scientist. Well, then again, now I'm thinking
he
like...
He was Mr. Freeze.
So was Mr. Freeze.
Yeah. It would have just been octopus puns the whole time.
Oh my God. I'm going to turn you into fried calamari.
That's squid.
Isn't that the same thing as
squid and octopus are different?
They're different things.
Still fun though. I get the joke. Tickle you with
me. Give me
I'm
some.
I'm going to tickle you with my tentacles.
Is that really an octopus pun though?
No, I suppose not.
What's an octopus?
Do you think he
pun?
Would be obsessed with like the number 8 as well?
Oh my God.
You've lost. You've got no puns. You,
hang on. Do spiders have 8 legs?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Spider-Man! You have 8 legs, so do I! Let's fight! Would have been something like that.
Oh, I think we just missed a comment, which would have been funny, because I'm sure someone had a better pun than we did.
Why don't you load up YouTube on your phone, turn it on, turn the volume down, and then look at the comments.
Okay. What do you call two octopuses that look exactly the same? Identical.
Oh! I like that. Can we have more of those? Because I want to just do... What do you call two octopuses that look the same? Identical!
Jesus. Jesus, you're like Arnold Schwarzenegger on crack. It's the 90s!
Yeah. Everyone's doing it.
How do you make an octopus laugh?
You tickle his tentacles?
You give it tentacles.
Ah, that's quite sweet.
Little tentacle.
One, two, three.
Oh my god. Okay, so the plot points here that I wanted to share with you. No genetically altered spider, but flies. And what? The flies were genetically altered in this movie. And when Peter...
Now, this is the same writer as Jurassic Park.
No, that's... You're confusing that.
Oh.
That this is James Cameron writing this movie. David Kett then took James Cameron's script, took pieces of it that he liked, and put it into the Sam Raimi film.
Got it.
So James Cameron wrote all this. So it was genetically altered flies.
Mm-hmm.
And when they went to... I think it was... It was probably Oscorp or something like that. I believe I read that in the script. One of the flies escaped and got caught in a spider's web. The spider sucked the blood of the fly and then dropped down and
That's
bit
such
Peter.
A convoluted way.
Why would you do that? I know.
Why would you do that?
I know. Why don't you just have genetically altered spiders, which they did in Sam Raimi's film.
Oh, Chloe's got some YouTube comments.
Brain Gamer said, hey, what's up?
Who did?
Brain Gamer.
Hey, Brain Gamer.
Is it Brian or
Hey, Brain Gamer.
Brain.
I've been calling him Brian for so long.
suddenly the people watching goes down one less.
And then what killed
it? It did! Fuck! Holy shit!
And then Nathan DC Marvel said, what killed the dinosaurs?
The Ice Age!
Love it.
That's it.
The octopuses.
Eight of them.
So, there was no wrestling career for Spider-Man in this, where he obviously started as a wrestler and then Uncle Ben was killed and he became a superhero. Spider-Man starts as a street performer and works his way up to public access television before he becomes a superhero.
Oh, God!
Yep, so there's a whole story of that in this script as well.
So, we don't get any Macho Man Randy Savage. Bone saws ready!
None of that. Peter is horrified by the organic web hole. Jesus.
That was me choking on my... Randy Savage impersonation.
Peter is horrified.
Yeah!
So,
it's like the Kool-Aid Man.
That's what
it's
the Kool-Aid
pretty much
Man
Randy Savage.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Ooh, yeah, come get some.
So Peter is horrified by the organic web holes in his arm, and I pulled this script scene.
Oh, Jesus!
He considers himself a freak, and he sits in the corner of his room in a fetal position, crying.
Oh my god!
He's so upset about these disgusting holes in his arms that produce web.
And when he just goo. He's like, oh!
You're not far off.
No way!
You are not far off.
Fucking hell.
He actually wakes up and it's like a wet dream.
No!
Oh,
let's
yeah.
read some!
Just wait, we'll get there.
Well, taking ages to bloody get there, I'm ready to read!
So, Peter invents fake web shooters to hide the holes on his wrists. And
this
wants...
is so convoluted!
And he wants people to think he's invented the webs and not physically creating them. Just give him fucking web shooters
then! Someone has created all of these problems for this script that were not needed.
It's ridiculous. Peter discovers his organic web shooters in bed after basically having a wet dream, which we'll read. Peter researches...
I mean, that would make Spider-Man, every time he fights crime, he's like...
He's coming.
Yeah, he's constantly having orgasms. Like, you know those people that have orgasms, like, 90 times a day?
Yeah.
He's just like... That's why he fights crime. He's like, crime? Oh! Oh! Oh!
Please steal that, please. Thank you! Oh!
He's a sex freak.
So, Peter... also researches spiders to understand his new abilities and becomes a real spider expert. So he literally...
What, in like a day?
I guess so, in a day. He studies them, loves them so much where he's just like, if I'm a spider, I've got to know everything about them. And then incorporates that into his sex scene with Mary Jane.
Oh, I cannot wait to read this.
Peter is from Maryland in this story. He's not even from New York.
Why?
Don't know. He originally comes from Maryland. And then moves to New York.
Where,
why?
I feel where like... is Maryland?
Maryland.
Maryland is... It's like mid... It's like central northeast, if that makes any sense at all. So basically, it's past New Jersey, past Delaware, and right after Delaware is Maryland.
It's like the boring bit of America.
No, it's not so much. Actually, Maryland's really nice and their fucking crabs are amazing. But no point for Spider-Man to be from bloody Maryland. There's absolutely
I feel like
reason.
So. This is the type of stuff when a screenwriter. Well, actually, it's James Cameron, isn't it?
Mm.
Is James Cameron from Maryland? Does he have an association with it?
Don't know. Could be.
All that type of stuff you see that people chuck in the scripts is them, like, you know, everyone says, write what you know.
Mm.
That's what I see there, is just chucking in stuff like that.
So,
someone in the stream find out if James Cameron's from Maryland. You don't have to wait, you can read.
No, I'm waiting for you to finish. So, Spider-Man gets his powers. Not Spider-Man, I apologise. This is Electro. Electro gets his powers whilst being a small-time crook, and he's in Mexico, and he's being chased by the police, and he comes across an electric power plant, and there's a massive storm and a tornado, and it hits the power plant, and suddenly he has powers. Like, there's no sort of experiment involved in this. He's just literally running from the police and then hits this electric power plant. There's a storm that hits, and he comes out, and he's got super electric powers for no reason. It's really weird.
That's really dumb.
Yep. What else we got here before we move on to...
just as good as what happened in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, though.
Yep. Then
there's a big tank of electric eels, and I'm going to fall in them.
James Cameron said he wanted he wanted Sandman, or Boyd, in this script, to be exactly like the T-1000, obviously in Terminator 2.
Yeah.
He wanted him to have the exact same morphing abilities and be a direct rip-off of that movie.
What does that have to do with electric powers?
No, that's for Sandman, mate.
Oh, Sandman.
Yep.
Sorry. I'm drinking a very strong gin and tonic.
And then finally, Cameron said, if Fox would have just spent a couple extra $100,000, just a couple, they would have had a $2 billion franchise on their hands with all the things he was planning to do for the Spider-Man films to come. And he finally said, they blew it.
Really?
I think you fucking blew it, James Cameron. Right.
We found out where James Cameron's from.
Oh, yeah?
James Cameron's from Canada in... Mm. I can't say this. Capoose, Casey?
Capoose?
I don't know.
James Cameron from Canada in... Capoose, Casey. That's what it sounds like to me.
Okay. I am going to... You have your scripts,
ooh,
yes?
Let's read
our scripts. So we are going to read excerpts that I picked that I thought were too fucking good not to read from the James Cameron script treatment, the Spider-Man film that was never made. Do we have them up?
Yes.
Yeah, hang on. Sneak peek just for YouTube. There's the colours for the Turtles cover we did.
Show Facebook.
There you go, Facebook.
You see that? Do you know when that's coming out?
May 26th, I think. You can cut that out of the recording of the podcast. I just thought I'd show that.
Right. Anyway. Okay, so I've broken this down into multiple parts of the script to kind of get a full idea of the story, and each segment is listed. So you see, obviously, we've got intro, we've got power discovery. Yep. So we'll go through each one. Now, we've got the intro, which is just Spider-Man doing a voiceover.
Talking to Bruce.
Who would like to be Spider-Man?
Well, if you're going to read, you're going to have to get closer to the mic.
I'll just talk loudly.
Yeah, you have to talk very loudly.
Shall I do... So who's Spider-Man to begin with? You can do Spider-Man to begin with. Do right. Spider-Man.
What right. voice should I do for Spider-Man?
Anybody got any suggestions? Or this sounds like Spider-Man after Flashpoint happens. Yeah, pretty much.
I could do Spider-Man as Gilbert Lee.
All right, do Spider-Man as Gilbert
Lee. I'm probably going to cough doing that.
Jesus
we'll
Christ.
Go.
Okay, so I'll do the
you
intro.
Don't, my fiancée doesn't listen to the podcast at all, so you have no idea all the sounds I'm about to make. Yeah. All
right, so I'll do the intro. We've got... You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, we've got the intro to James Cameron's Spider-Man film. The figure is hanging like a spider from a...
I don't know why that cracks me up.
From a radio mast high above Manhattan.
What's with all the dots in his writing?
I don't know. There are familiar landmarks, Pan Am and Chrysler Building, Empire State.
Chrysler Buildings, it says here. Multiple Chrysler Buildings.
The figure talks.
Is this me?
Yep.
Welcome to one of my favorite night spots. The service is slow, but the thing I like about it, .. it's not usually too crowded.
The Empire State Building is lower than us, so there's only one place we could be. 1,400 feet above the street, on the radio mast of the North Tower of the World Trade Center. A quarter of a mile below us, the traffic moves like corpuscles. What the fuck is that? Of light through the circulatory system of the city.
Thank you. You alright over there?
Oh, I didn't know you could do such a good impression.
Thank you. Right. You know this as the parrot from Aladdin, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
No, I know him from reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh yes, he read it as an audiobook. That's amazing and gross.
I can read that at this point.
All right, so the figure then talks.
It all looks so ... civilized ... from up here, doesn't it? Like there's some kind of logic to it all. It's all so clear. But you get down there on the street and nothing's clear.
The street, cabs and cops, people on the move. Humanity in all its variegated glory, from stockbrokers to hookers, priests to junkies.
Oh, every Spider-Man film needs hookers, priests and junkies in that order.
A corner newsstand, pushing in on a stack of Newsweek. Close on the top one, the cover is a grainy, long lens, black and white shot, like a UFO photo of a guy in tights, apparently crawling up the side of a building. The headline reads, "The Spider-Man, hero or vigilante?" An arm wearing red spandex and a red glove drops down from the roof of the newsstand. The news guy whirls as the arm slaps $2 on the counter and grabs a Newsweek. The owner rushes out the door, looks on the top of the kiosk. There's nothing there. He looks up all around. He grins and holds his fists in the air. Owner. All right! Cut to the figure. Atop the World Trade Center, still hanging, he pulls the Newsweek out of his belt and stares at the cover in the moonlight. Spider-Man.
How can I expect them to get it? I don't even get it. I'm confused.
No, it doesn't say that.
I do wish they'd at least get my name right. It's Gilbert Grape!
Oh, it's not Gilbert Grape, is it? I always say Gilbert Grape.
It's Spider-Man! ... The Spider-Man! Jeez! Boneheads! I need a better publicist!
He rips the magazine easily in half, then in quarters, then in eights. He's taken that much time!
Wow.
Fuck this. Perfect squares. Somewhere he realizes that he takes more strength in the hands than you or I have. He releases the stamp-sized shreds. Camera drifts with them as they flutter down over the city like confetti.
Wouldn't they have kittens if they knew Spider-Man wasn't even a man? Just a kid named ...
Peter! Close up on an elderly lady yelling. That's Maggie Smith.
Peter! Peter, you're going to be late. It's morning.
Oh, I'm not supposed to read that. It's morning and she's calling up the stairs to Peter Parker, age 17.
It's morning!
Peter is in the bathroom, popping a zit in the mirror.
Oh for fuck's sake!
Just your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Even young superheroes get zits.
He puts on his glasses and checks his look in the mirror. Still the same. Nerdy. He doesn't care. Screw him.
Oh, that sounds like another writer I know.
Okay. Now we're going to go on to power discovery when Peter discovers that he has superpowers.
Okay.
This is the bed scene.
Oh, yeah.
I will show you storyboards as well from this.
There's storyboards
of
the sex scene?
There's storyboards as well. No, not the sex scene, the bed scene where he discovers he has powers. The next day, tight on Peter as he wakes up. He opens his eyes cautiously, not knowing what to expect. Pull back to reveal that he's still in bed. All is normal. He breathes a sigh of relief. In fact, he feels pretty good. Lots of energy. He pulls back. And something is causing the sheet to stick to him. He lifts it, revealing a sticky white mass completely covering, gluing him to his bedding. It is some silky substance webbing into the covers. He cries out in dismay, struggling to free himself from the gluey strands. Where did it all come from? He notices his wrists. They are oozing a pearlescent white fluid.
Jesus, this is very
from almost
written.
Invisible slits from a quarter of an inch long.
Oh,
I know, this is like
God.
Literally fucking 50 Shades of Grey talk. He pushes it on the skin next to one of the slits and a dark shape, the size and colour of a rose thorn, emerges from beneath the skin.
What?
It shoots a jet of liquid silk into his face.
Wow!
Peter screams at the top of his lungs.
Wow!
Aunt May comes to the door.
Peter, are you all right?
Yes.
He answers nervously.
Yeah. I'm that fine, Aunt May. I was just practicing for school play.
Oh, I'm so happy that you're getting into other activities.
Right, do you want to see...
That was really, some really awkward. From that?
Isn't that fucking awkward?
Right, that let's look that at some... was like Spider-Man fan fiction.
Yeah.
Like, that was gross.
Yeah, it was like that. Yeah.
Oh, guys, I've just realised I'm so sorry because I've got a new laptop and because I don't have Microsoft Word and I saved all the images on Microsoft Word. I'll have to share the storyboards on Facebook and share with
you. Oh, don't worry, that's fine.
But they are hilarious because they are literally showing him discovering, like, the first time he had a wet dream. It's really weird.
That is insane that they, combine those two.
Okay. We are now going to do an Electro reveal where the first time Electro meets Spider-Man.
I'm going to blow out my voice by tomorrow if I can.
Well, I'll take over for Spider-Man. I'll do, I don't know. I don't know what voice I can do, but I'll do something if you want.
I can keep reading. I might switch up the voice.
Right. Electro reveal. We reveal the figure in the chair. This is Carlton Strand. He is in his early 40s and exudes power from every pore. He is wearing a very expensive custom-tailored suit. His hair is slicked back. Very GQ. His nails are manicured. Alright, great detail. His watch is platinum. He's like, yeah, bitch. He is the image of vast wealth attained and not inherited.
Because anybody that has a platinum watch and has a mani-pedi is loaded.
Do you think he's got, like, acrylic nails, like the really long ones? Like the manicure.
Are you ready, Spider-Man?
Yeah. I'm going to switch the voice to the Kingpin.
Okay.
Carlton Strand, you think Trump was big.
Let's stop there. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my God.
They were referencing Trump where he's being like, you think Trump was a vast, wealthy person. He's got nothing in Carlton Strand.
This guy was bigger, just like my three chins.
Sorry.
There he was, sitting like a big fat spider, just like me, Spike, at the center of his web of power and megabucks, just like me, Spike. And way out on the edge, he feels this little vibration.
Spider-Man, continue.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize it split. But he wasn't always Carlton Strand anymore, Smythe.
I can't keep this up. Anyway.
He wasn't Carlton Strand anymore, then I was always your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. At one time, he was just a punk named Carl, a two-time loser about to go down for the third time. Unnecessary long space in the text. It was about 10 years ago that Strand got his cosmic tap on the shoulder.
And then they will cut to the Mexico scene that's so fucking boring, I didn't include it in here.
Okay. Actually, I'll keep, to make it, keep continuity. I'll keep Gilbert What's-His-Face for Spider-Man.
Okay. Right, New York interviews. We're going to do this plain talk because...
Be careful.
I cannot believe how
fucking...
Oh
my god, I just see the name of the characters.
How...
I'm African-American New Yorker, Latino New Yorker.
The racism stereotype is nuts
in
this. And it's just pure 90s, like, fucking unbelievable. So this is a New York interviews where they are interviewing New Yorkers about the appearance of Spider-Man. So, at the same time, in some neighborhoods, he is a local legend. Crime is down, and the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man is a welcome sight, and everybody wants to claim him. Black kids think he's black. White kids think he's white. Italians say he's Italian. Gay guys think he's gay. Hispanics, etc.
just
everybody thinks...
He's like, I'm done typing this sentence. You get the gist.
Fucking nuts, right? African-American New Yorker. This is, I'm going to say it as plain as day. Spider-Man ain't no white dude. He too down. What I'm saying, you see his moves? He definitely a brother.
Wow.
Wow. Latino New Yorker. No way, Holmes. My brother knows a guy that talked to him once, man.
Cool story, bro.
Great fucking story, dude. Okay. We're going to do the Mary Jane attack, and then we're going to go on to the love scene, where Chloe can come in. For the love scene, I would like Chloe to play Spider-Man and for you to play Mary Jane.
That makes sense.
Okay. All right, so before we do that, the Mary Jane attack. I had to put this in because this is ridiculous. Spider-Man, you ready for this?
Yep.
Okay. On Mary Jane walking home, she's being followed by some punks. They accost her. There is no one around to help. I know. Just say they attack her. She screams and they drag her off the street into an abandoned junkyard. Suddenly, Spider-Man is there. He trounces
the
attackers.
This happens in the actual Spider-Man Sam Raimi film.
It does, yeah, you're right. He trances the attackers and webs them up. He knows by now that without crime actually taking place, the cops won't even hold these guys. So all he can do is warn them.
I'm sorry, who uses accost and trances?
I know.
After seeing all of his other
wanky James
writing,
Cameron does.
I feel like he just googled like synonyms for other words, yeah. Like when you write an essay at school. Okay.
If you worthless chunks of vomit show your faces around here again, I'll decorate my Christmas tree with your intestines.
Alright, you gotta stop
with your intestines, got it?
So Spider-Man,
I'm a smoker!
Spider-Man's telling villains he's going to decorate his Christmas tree with their intestines.
Yeah, because Spider-Man loves killing people and stringing them up.
Because Spider-Man's the Punisher in this story.
Yeah, that is a very Punisher line.
Yeah. Alright.
You worthless chunks of vomit. Yeah. More like that.
Yep. Okay, love scene, you ready?
Oh yeah.
Okay, Chloe, you got it?
I think the voice I'm going to switch to is a very Floribama style.
Yes!
My name's Mary Jane.
I don't know. I
Mary Jane Watson, face it, tiger.
You've got lots of
you
great
just
lines.
Hit the jackpot. The crackpot.
I don't know what voice I should do.
It's going, like, oh, I'm Spider-Man.
Okay.
Yeah. So
make sure you're loud.
Okay.
Punisher and Spider-Man had a baby, and it's James Cameron Spider-Man, is what Nathan just said. Absolutely. Alright. Cut to the Brooklyn Bridge. A stunning aerial shot.
Oh, it's my favourite bridge.
A tiny shape swinging in an arc, racing past the support cables, sweeps towards us. It is Spidey, with MJ in his arms.
Oh, he's so strong.
He shoots another web strand, swings to one of the stone towers, and races up the side. She is light as a feather in his arms. She screams like a kid riding Colossus.
Awee! Awoo, I'm having such a good time.
They pass us. Her screams continue, fading as he carries her up to the dizzling heights above us. On the top of the bridge tower, hold a beat. We hear screams approaching. Spidey appears and sets her on terra firma. Don't know what the fuck
What's
that is.
What's that mean? Do you know what that means?
I don't know what terra firma is. No.
All right, Bubby, you're snoring way too loud.
Come on. Wakey, wakey.
She clings to him, looking down and around in wonder. He has put the world at her feet.
Oh.
She can't believe this is happening to her.
I'm so swooned.
In a dizzying down angle, we see how the suspension cables all meet radially at the top of the tower, like the treads of some vast spider web. Oh, I see what he did there.
Oh, you know what voice you should do? You should do your, like, 1950s gangster voice, like, meh, meh.
I don't know if I can speak
you
like
can,
that.
You can courtship among the spiders.
Okay, I'll do that.
Peter,
just try whatever.
Peter and MJ seem to sit at the very centre of the web, surrounded by the lights of the city. It is a warm spring night, and the moment is pure magic. She stands with her back against a girder, needing to feel something solid. Oh, I'll show you something solid in a minute. Spider-Man stands before her, a perfectly formed male, silhouette with a soothing, low voice.
Now, hang on, before we go, I will say that not very good that they're saying Spider-Man without the hyphen in between Spider and Man. That's a big no-no already.
That's true. Oh, your YouTube's reconnecting.
Oop.
Oh, dear. YouTube down. Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Yay, we're back.
Sorry
on
about
YouTube.
That.
Right, let's hear from soothing voice, deep tone Spidey.
Do whatever voice you like, Plot. Just make it loud.
Make it loud.
Courtship among the spiders is highly ritualized. It varies from species to species. The male spider may circle the female or wave his front legs to signal that he is not prey.
You're so knowledgeable about spiders. I'm so impressed.
Spider-Man moves in a hypnotic arc around her. He raises his hands in a dance-like movement and lowers them.
The female usually signals her willingness by uncharacteristic passivity.
Passivity? I think it's just passivity.
I can't say it.
Passivity.
Yeah, but honestly, what a wanker. MJ takes a deep breath. Her lip trembles. Her knees are weak. Her eyes, though, are steady, gazing at the silhouette before her. She doesn't move or speak. He moves closer.
In certain crab spiders, such as...
Don't worry about
Azistus.
That now.
Azisticus. The male will attach strands of silk to the female tying her limbs.
He's now getting into BDSM, guys, this with his like webbing.
Serious bondage shit.
This is like, this is fan fiction in like a porno sense. And this is written by James Cameron.
Well, he's not a writer, he's a bloody director.
Spider-Man moves his hand gracefully across her, and she sees the sheerest silk webbing glinting in the moonlight. Oh. She plays with it and sucks on a bit of it. No!
It's not in the script.
First the right wrist, then the other. Hypnotic movement in the moonlight. Her arms are bound to the wall. Her breathing gets more rapid.
Wait, so she's webbed up against the wall, so she's against her will?
This is
a bit fucked up.
Can you read that? Because I've just realised the text is all fucked up. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Since the female can break free at any time, the bonds have only symbolic significance.
Well, that answers my question then. Yeah. Just to let you know that I'm not actually about to rape you. You do have a choice.
So fucked up. Mary Jane, here you go.
Okay, it's my first line of dialogue.
Wait, hang on. So she knows, like, about spiders as
she
well?
She suddenly is, like, into this game, yeah.
This is not in the script, but so I read up as well.
And then, there we go.
I was paid for this BDSM spider sex.
The male must be very bold to take such liberties with the predatory female. Ooh, I'm gonna get you.
Yes, he is very bold, but he must also trust her. He moves very close. Close your eyes!
Oh, they're closed.
He removes his mask and kisses her. Their mouths are very slowly and very sensuously devour each other. Peter and MJ are locked together.
Oh, just like two dogs in heat.
He is mesmerizing, gentle, and powerful. How can you be gentle and powerful?
I don't know. That's some straight porn writing.
And then suddenly, we change from, like, gentle, sensual, and he goes, he pushes up her skirt. They make love, high above the World Trade Center. She doesn't look.
She doesn't look? She doesn't look?
What does that mean?
Oh, high above the world, so she doesn't look down as she's getting shagged on top of the Brooklyn Bridge.
What, she doesn't want to see if he's...
But imagine seeing Spider-Man being like, ooh, and puts his hand up her skirt, and then seeing them shag like, as it, like, pans back.
Sorry, that was one of the most fucked up things I've ever read.
That was going to be in a movie.
Just like him, like, did you know about these certain arachnids?
But it's just weird how it goes from that, and it's like, and they fucked. And that's it.
I can't believe she was like, I've read up on this. I've studied the sexual patterns of spiders. And I'm quite aroused.
I feel like you're going to get a strike on your YouTube channel because of this.
Probably.
Oh, fucking hell. Alright, now we're going to move on to the foul language segment, which is obviously, there's no Spider-Man film without foul language because it's got to be R-rated for a reason.
Of course.
Strand moves without warning, grabbing Mary Jane before Peter can pull her away. She feels the current running through her. Peter lunges forward and Strand turns up the juice. Mary Jane cries out.
Oh, sorry.
Peter stops. He can only watch helplessly as Strand toys with their life. Strand grabs her and kisses her. The voltage makes her hair shoot straight out. She starts doing the Watusi. I don't know what the fuck the Watusi. It's the spider dance he was doing on the Brooklyn Bridge. Strand. I'm going to come up with the voice of Strand now.
How long is it going for?
I have no idea.
Do Smythe.
But sir, okay, we're good.
There you go. That's how you get in the character.
Yeah.
But sir, no, I'm Smythe.
See, her power turns women on. He breaks the kiss. She slaps the shit out of him, and he kisses her again. This time at a much higher voltage. MJ starts to convulse wildly. Meanwhile, Sandman is dissolved and is flowing across the floor. He reforms behind Peter and grabs in a grip of solid rock. Peter struggles as Strand electrocutes Mary Jane. She bucks and goes still. Her head falls back and Peter sees her staring eyes, pupils fixed and dilated. Dead as they come. Peter can only stare in horror. Strand.
Help me, spoon
man. Strand. What should we do? Call 911? Peter, you can just do Gilbert Lee for that.
I'll kill you, motherfucker! You hear me? You're dead, you sick bastard!
Spider-Man just called someone a motherfucker.
Well, I'm not surprised with his, like, hey, you slime punk in the other Punisher line.
Ready for this great scene between Mary Jane and Spider-Man, you two?
Oh, yeah.
On the roof of the tower, Spider-Man gets MJ to the stairwell door. He rips it off its hinges, and he tells her to run. She starts down, then turns back to him.
I love you.
Cool.
What?
So do you think they had an Empire Strikes Back moment where they're like, I love you, I know, and James Cameron's like, I'm gonna fucking do that too. I'm gonna have Mary Jane go, I love you, and Spider-Man just be like, cool.
Yeah.
That was their Empire moment.
Definitely.
Alright, we're going to go to...
Really,
now,
that's it? Just a coup? Not a cool whip?
We're going to go now to the end scenes of both Sandman and Electro. I don't think there's any dialogue for the Sandman.
So did you read this whole script and choose the best bits?
I read
bits?
This whole fucking script.
Fucking hell.
In fact, unfortunately, there are no Schwarzenegger lines because I looked for the Dr. Octopus. Okay. There's a scene where it just describes Peter going to see Otto Octavius and there's no lines.
Okay.
And it just says, like,
they gave Arnold
this.
Zero lines. Yeah. We loved you in Terminator when you didn't say
well, remember, it's only a script treatment, so it's not the full script. End of Sandman. Spidey sees that Strand is about to fire again. He fires a web at Sandman, lassoing him. Just as Strand unleashes a bolt, Spidey drops over the edge, pulling the web taut, jerking Sandman, screaming, right into the path of the lightning beam. The furious bright plasma wraps over the Sandman, fusing him into molten glass. So basically, Electro is the... It kills Sandman accidentally and turns him into glass. I actually thought it was kind of a cool way. Like, the electric current turns the sand into glass. And
but
Sandman...
can electricity turn sand into glass?
True. Fire does. I mean, it's the heat, so it could work, maybe. I mean, fucking hell, it's not the biggest plot hole of this whole script, is it?
It's fine.
Sandman is a smoking lump of melted glass in the vague form of a man, poised, cooling in a position of agony. Like Michelangelo's dying slave, his glass mouth is a shapeless pit of eternal pain.
Wow, that was deep.
Bummer.
What is this wanky shit?
Why did he say that and then go bummer? Like, is he trying to be like...
He was like, oh, sorry, that was way too deep. Bummer, bro.
Bummer, bro.
Sucks to be you, bro.
End of Electro. Holding. Jerking him to a stop. From 100 miles an hour to zero in 1 second.
Wow, that's a false wank.
And Strand rockets past him, still falling. Peter holds the web with all his might, so they're falling through the air right now, stopping Strand so suddenly as he slams into the steel columns along the side of the building with a sickening smack.
Oh.
The lightning stops suddenly. A few stray arcs as Strand's broken body dangles at the end of Peter's line. The sound of sirens wafts up from the street far below. Wafts up like a bad fart.
I can smell the sirens.
Strand is bleeding badly and broken inside. Dying. Peter's mask is ripped off by the fight. He pulls it off his head, showing his face to Strand for the first time. Strand. What's your name, kid?
Parker! Peter Parker!
Peter Parker. So... What are you? Senior in high school?
Yeah, I graduate next week.
Strand chuckles weakly, coughing blood from ruptured lungs. Unbelievable. Strand dies.
Wow.
So the end of the villain is literally being like, what are you, just a kid?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Fuck. Unbelievable. But I'm dead. And Spider-Man just killed someone, by the way. Just killed a villain.
Peace!
Cut to Spider-Man still hanging. This is the end of the film. Spider-Man?
Where am I? Oh, okay, that's his dialogue?
Yep.
Mary Jane and I got accepted to different colleges. Wouldn't you know it? But we see each other every weekend. Her grades are better than mine.
Little break. It's hard to keep that voice up.
But I blame it on the heavy hours. It's not easy being your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Takes it out of you. Well, it's a school night. Gotta fly. Be good.
He pushes off from the mast, swinging in an arc out over the edge of the roof. Paying out web line, he drops like an express elevator towards the street far below, tilting down to follow as he becomes a black dot above the sea of lights. A tiny spider going home. The end.
Oh, God.
Can you fucking believe this script? Like, this is why I've been dying to show you, because I can't believe this actually existed. And if you read the whole script, it just gets worse and worse. I did leave out a scene because it was funny, but also really strange, not that these weren't, where Electro likes to play with women by electrocuting them to death and then bringing them back to life. That's how he gets off. Like, he hires prostitutes... He had this one woman working for him that was basically a prostitute. Sex wasn't cutting it anymore, so he would accidentally...
It sounds like Black Mirror.
He would accidentally kill her by, like, shocking her, and then he would bring her back to life by doing, you know, kind of like the fucking clear, but he would use his electric powers
to do it. That only works when your heart's still beating, though.
Yeah. And he would love to do it. Like, he did it for kicks. Like, I'm going to kill you and bring you back to life. That's how I get off, because I'm Electro.
That's bloody ridiculous.
That's so fucked up.
Oh, man. What have we got here? 50 Shades of Webbing.
I like that.
When Spider-Man says in the animated series, when getting Venom, he's developed more than a backbone. I really hope he didn't mean this. Yeah, no shit. So, I just can't believe that a studio... I mean, I understand James Cameron, right? He comes from The Aliens, Terminator,
yeah, but did he,
True Lies.
Did he write any of that?
I've told you, that script is James Cameron's script treatment.
Yes, but you're talking about the other stuff.
Oh, well, the other films?
Yeah.
I have no idea. He could have had...
Is this him maybe... Because what I'm just assuming this, but I assume that he is like, yeah, I made Terminator 1 and 2. Did he make one?
He did make one, yes.
I made Terminator 1 and 2, and maybe he was like, you know what? Screw other people's scripts. I'm going to try and write it myself. And this was like his first attempt.
Let's find out. Terminator 2, who was it written by? I somehow have a feeling it was not written by James Cameron. It was. Fuck me, it was.
It's a good film.
I just don't know how he didn't
get
it
right. Oh
my
god, now I want to read the script for Terminator 2 and see if it's as wanky as that.
What, with his descriptions and scenes? Yeah, I just...
Hello there, my dear reader.
when I read more and more about this film, and understood how it almost got made and then fell through, I was thinking, James Cameron, Spider-Man... Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
All those names involved. I was like, this sounds like a fucking awesome film.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
So I was really disappointed. Then I read the script and I was like, thank fuck, this film was never made.
Yeah, well, actually.
Can you imagine?
How amazing would it be to see the sex scene?
Do you think it would be like The Room, where it's a film that is so hated that it ends up becoming a cult classic?
Yeah.
Where people are like, the best Spider-Man film is James Cameron's,
Tommy Wiseau
fanfic.
Is Peter Parker. Did you know, arachnids?
Oh my god.
Spiders!
He's not a spider, he's not.
Oh, hi, Peter.
Oh, hi, Mary.
I didn't fuck her on the Brooklyn Bridge. I did not. I just...
You're tearing me apart, Mary!
I can't get over this fucking film. And people have made... Like, there's been storyboards that have been released that I'll share with you guys afterwards. And then
yeah,
I
post them
on
Facebook.
I definitely will. But people have made posters to this. People have actually drawn out scenes from this film because it is...
Hey, please tell me there's some sex scene drawn out somewhere.
There is.
Oh,
literally.
Oh, we gotta take a look at that.
Yeah. There's... You're like, oh yeah, we gotta look at that.
Put it in my private collection.
Save it for later.
Yeah, you can draw it.
That's
next.
My next project with Marvel. Yeah. It's the James Cameron
Spider-Man film. But yeah, that
if
is...
That, if, Marvel, if I got an email from Marvel and they're like... With like James Cameron question mark, and they're like, "Hey, we got the script. Would you want to draw?" They're like, "Fuck yes!"
Oh man, what do you think was the most outrageous part of that script?
The sex.
The sex scene. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
It wasn't the sex. It was the lead up to the sex.
And how grossly weird it was.
But also,
I feel like James Cameron was very sexually frustrated when he wrote that.
Oh, he was going through a divorce.
There you go. There you go.
Wow.
Oh, didn't even think about that.
I bet James Cameron is secretly, like, really kinky. That's why he wrote all this shit.
Like, he does a little dance around the window.
I mean, a lot of it was messed up. The wet dream web shooter stuff was crazy.
Maybe it was based on personal experience.
And then that electro scene that we didn't read that you described, it's just insane.
It's just so weird.
Sounds like he was sleeping with a lot of prostitutes.
I actually thought about doing the whole script and I was like, no, that's just too much and it's going to be too convoluted. But there is so much in it where I was like, fucking hell, this is insane.
Well, maybe we'll do a part two much further down the
this
line.
This was a literal script that studios had gone, yeah, we'll put $50 million into this.
Wow. I mean, a guy that just came off of T1 and T2, you would... pump money into,
Nate Brown said Tommy Wiseau is Uncle Ben. That's great.
Oh, hi Peter.
With great power comes great responsibility, Peter.
So he'd be married to Maggie Smith.
They'd be having some weird sex as well.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I just, the sex scene is so bizarre because it would be like taking Batman and he's like, when bats leave the cave, they like to eat the faces of their victims before they shag them. It's just fucking weird.
Also, is he not wearing an all-in-one suit?
Oh, yeah, so how did he do the deed? In the unitard.
Well, he's got super strength. He just ripped the material off, but that means that after. That's an in the moment thing, right? Where you're like, oh yeah. And you like rip it off and you're like, oh yeah. And then when he's done, he's going to be like, ah. And she could just web it back up. Done.
Oh yeah, you could web it. Yeah.
Problem solved.
I was going to say, he'd be swinging through the streets of New York and you just see this silhouette, this dick and balls.
and then like one of the black or Hispanic guys, they're like, oh, he is white. He's circumcised, a Jewish guy's like, he's one of us!
Fuck
oh
me!
God.
Oh, I can't get over how just weird this whole film is. That is so true.
But, like, if he took the suit off, did he keep the mask on?
No, because he reveals to MJ that he's Peter towards the end of the film. So she shagged a guy in a costume,
she had
not
no
knowing
idea
who he is. She was just like, oh, he's manly and he loves spiders. I'm down to fuck. DTF on the Brooklyn Bridge.
But that's how Mary Jane is in the film.
Is the Brooklyn
well.
Bridge
she's like,
very busy?
She doesn't care who Spider-Man is.
The Brooklyn Bridge is really
like,
busy.
Full of cars and shit. People are just like, what the fuck? Like, in rush hour.
They just see some guy like, go like this.
It's like 5:30 p.m. Everyone's coming back from work.
Oh, fuck me. They're like, he's doing the spider dance. Did you know that spiders before they mate? That's so fucking weird. And just changing the names. So you're introducing Spider-Man to the general population for the first time on film, right? There's never been a Spider-Man on film before this. And you are naming the villains Boyd and Carlton Strand.
Could you imagine that being people's first exposure to Spider-Man?
And just be like, who's Sandman? You mean Boyd?
Parents
like, no.
would be like, I cannot let my children read any of this.
Exactly.
It could really jeopardize the actual...
It could
actual...
have ruined Spider-Man.
I don't know what...
Yeah, but for actual Marvel Comics Spider-Man
Yeah, it
well.
Could have destroyed it. Because
or...
what audience is this film meant for besides, like, horny like, 30-year-old white men that do pervy shit? Not me.
Why did you point at him?
Yeah, what the fuck?
He's a 30-year-old white man.
Yeah, but he's a horny 30-year-old
I wasn't
white.
In the 90s.
31.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks.
Cutthroat.
I don't know what audience this is meant for. I don't know how Spider-Man fans that could go see this film would be
but
like,
imagine if it was
done
popular.
Right, character is done right.
Imagine if it was popular and then it influenced the comics and the comics took all these dark turns in it as well.
True.
It'd be insane.
It's really fucking weird, man. I can't get over all of just the weird storytelling. And just even the opening where he's just like, hi guys, I'm hanging out. I'm going to go steal a newspaper. I'm doing this, like, stereotypical Spider-Man voiceover. He's just like, they got it all wrong. So I felt like beginning...
A lot of elements were kept in the Sam Raimi thing. He's like...
He did the voiceover.
Wanna know who I am?
Yeah. I'm your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
And that was also, like, I mean, Tobey Maguire is probably one of the most cringiest white men in the
Amazing.
World.
Amazing. That's why we love him.
It's just... It's just...
People everywhere. That's why we love him.
I kind of want to watch Spider-Man 2 tonight, because I kind of miss...
I've been dying to watch that, and every now and then she's like, I could watch that.
Let's watch Spider-Man 2 tonight.
You know
I'm
what I felt about the beginning of that script? Was that it sounded very, like, Joker-esque. It was very, like, oh, they see the world and they all think they know what they're doing, but they really
That's
don't.
True.
Yeah.
It sounded really, like...
Yeah, like, I'm the only one that sees the world for what it really is, and it's chaos, and it's...
Well,
the way James
Cameron... That sounds like a 16-year-old child.
That's
that
true,
does
yeah.
sound like a 16-year-old boy, that's true. I just, I can't get over just the wanky writing in this, too, where James Cameron's
so
like, what big words can I use this to just exposition spew all over these pages?
Yeah. And then he uses words like, bummer.
Yeah, and then, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or like, then he punches the shit out of him. And you're like,
so many dot, dot, dots as well.
I know, so many dot, dot, dots.
To be fair, I write a lot of dot, dot, dots in my scripts.
Yeah, you don't say dot, dot, dot when you're doing the lines, by the way.
I know that.
Just
take
a pause.
You know I did that on purpose to emphasize how many dot, dot, dots there were.
I know you did. It's fucking insane. And I also, it's imagine doing a film where it's the first Batman film and you've got Jack Nicholson as a Joker, but instead of calling him the Joker, you're going to call him Jack Napier. You're like, I'm just going to give him a normal name. It's really fucking weird. And Batman's talking to Kim Basinger about
but in a sense,
bats mating rituals before they
I mean,
do the deed.
You'd see the characters and know who they are. But it is weird, yeah.
It's fucking weird. And there's also, oh, by the way, there's a scene. There's another scene I forgot. This is in the storyboards, which I'll share. There's a scene where after Peter wakes up and he discovers that he's creamed the sheets with his webs, the sheets are sticking to him and he's pulling it off and he's crying and he can't believe what's going on. And he has a freak out moment.
He's crying.
And then he's so freaked out, he jumps out of his bedroom window. Lands on the street, a car almost hits him, and he jumps up over the car. Guess the car wasn't like, oh, that's weird, because they just kept on driving. He lands in a tree, and he starts perving on Mary Jane through her window.
Oh God.
Well, he pervs on Mary Jane in the actual film as well.
That's true, he does watch her.
A lot of stuff you say happens in the Sam Raimi
film. Never thought about how pervy Tobey Maguire is.
Oh, he's big time to be. His Spider-Man. Window is...
You remember when he was like on his camera and he was like focusing on her in the film?
Oh, yeah.
He was meant to be taking pictures of the lab and he just kept like looking at her through the camera.
And she says some line like, oh, I hope you get my good side. He's like, every side is your good side. It's or something like,
oh.
Like
that. Oh, it's really creepy. It's like a really bad animated series line where he's like, it's cold out, I'll keep you warm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really fucking weird. Anyway, so for all those that were listening live, I hope you enjoyed it. This episode will also go up on our normal audio channels. Do you want to chat about the film anyway? The dog farted? Is that what you have?
She's out.
Do you want to chat about anything coming up?
I have a Comic-Con. I have a Comic-Con next week. Medway Screen and Film Comic-Con. So Google that shiz.
What are you, James Cameron?
And I'll be there along with Art Adams, who's amazing, and a bunch of other people that have been in film and
stuff. And me.
And you. Oh, yeah, play with me.
You'll
get to meet Spider-Man in the flesh.
Yeah.
And Mary Jane.
Medway Screen and Comic-Con.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Tell you want to add anything? Welcome to the show.
You want to plug anything?
I don't have anything to plug. If anyone's suffering domestic abuse, call me.
Well, after this script, probably.
To clear that up, she works in domestic abuse. Not just like, I'm really interested in your problems.
Oh, fucking hell. All right, guys. Well, that's all the time we got for this week. We're going to have a episode going up later this week. We interviewed Nate Stockman, who's a Marvel artist. It was far more put together and organized than this thing that we did today. But we'll have two episodes going up this week on the channel. The interview with Nate was really cool. I enjoyed doing that.
Yeah, good fun.
It was good fun. Until next time, I've been Alex Robson.
I've been Will Robson.
I've been Chloe Gilbert.
Soon to be Chloe Robson.
Yes.
And remember, with a great podcast comes great recordability. Goodbye.
Yep.
I don't know. There you go. Goodbye.
I'm an old man.